On this first Sunday of Advent, as we begin a new year in the life of the church, I would like to take us to a place that I am fairly certain none of us has ever visited. It is a small village in rural Ukraine, the village of Zalais. I've never been there. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. But if we could go there in our imagination, we might very well meet a woman named Rosalia, coming to us out of her cottage, wearing her heavy farm boots, a scarf around her head. She's a spirited woman, an older woman who has seen much in her life, having grown up in Ukraine. She's lived through war, through trauma, through communist rule. But today, she proudly takes us to show us her potato patch. Now, why visit her on this first Sunday of Advent? Why stand in the midst of a potato patch? Well, as it turns out, Rosalia is the sole inhabitant of her village. She lives in the Chernobyl exclusion zone, a 1,000 square mile area of Ukraine that was evacuated in 1986 after that catastrophic accident at the nuclear power plant there. It is still forbidden. It is illegal, actually, to live within that evacuation zone. But Rosalie is one of about 100 persons who has decided to return to her own home, to her village. Most of them are older persons. Many of them are women. Babushkas were there raising vegetables in their gardens and gathering berries and mushrooms in the woods. They're living in the midst of devastation, but with a peculiar and, one might suggest, even perverse sense of hope. One would not expect people to survive there, let alone thrive there, and it is by no means certain that Rosalia is escaping the effects of radiation in a land that has been poisoned and degraded. But she will take you to her potato patch, and she will show you the gardening that she tends to every day, and she will convince you that life there is better for her than being exiled to a city that she never knew and could never love. Who would have thought that potatoes could grow in such a place? Perhaps Jeremiah could. He was a prophet who foresaw and lived through the doom of his nation, of his city, Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah. It was not a nuclear accident, but the forces of the Babylonian Empire that would overcome his people. But Jeremiah saw more than outside forces destroying his nation. As he surveyed the political and religious landscape of his own people, he saw their abandonment of a covenant that had been established with God. Forces from without could threaten, but so could an absence of justice in the land, an abandonment of the widow and the orphan. These words we heard attributed to Jeremiah today may actually have been written well after the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. But whether they originated as a prediction or as a sad acknowledgement of what would happen to Jerusalem, these words in the 33rd chapter of his book bring us to something else. For Jeremiah sees in the midst of devastation this, a branch. Who knows, maybe it's a sapling. A righteous branch of and from the house of David that will spring up a new anointed person, one who is to come. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. A Messiah. If we turn our eyes to Jerusalem in these first years of the 21st century, we can wonder if those words will ever come true. And wherever you cast your eyes today, what possibilities for hope can one see? More than one of you has mentioned to me in the last week how discouraging it seems wherever one looks, whether it's abroad to the unending line of refugees, to the increasing attacks of terrorists, or closer to home, with racial unrest in our cities and violence even in our health clinics, and a coarsening of political debate as we head into the presidential campaign. One could say that the political, moral, and natural landscape of our lives are all less capable of supporting life than they have been in the past. And yet a righteous branch will spring up, and the people of God, be they living in ancient Jerusalem, first century Palestine, or 21st century global village, are given a consistent message this and every Advent season. Here are some of the words we're going to be hearing today and in the weeks to come. Look up. Be alert. Watch. Sleepers, wake up. Be expectant. In the midst of discord and dismay, pay attention, for your redemption is drawing near. God is doing something in our midst. And what we can be doing is all that we can, giving our hearts, our minds, and energy to being attentive to those signs of the seeds that have been planted, the branches that are sprouting, and the new life that God is making real in our midst. Can we trust in such a message? It may be more difficult for us to do so than for our forebears. Adam Gopnik is a writer for The New Yorker, and he's recently written a foreword to a book of essays by artists and writers and musicians who reflect on some of their favorite passages from the Bible. In talking about religious faith, he had this to say about us in our day. He said, "Our ancestors acknowledged doubt while practicing faith. We moderns," he said, "are drawn to faith while practicing doubt." Our ancestors acknowledged doubt while practicing faith. We moderns are drawn to faith while practicing doubt. As children of the Enlightenment and of a scientific worldview, we have learned, for some good reasons, to practice doubt, even if we may be drawn to faith. But sometimes, practice doesn't lead to perfection, but rather to a limited vision. We may have learned, for example, that in one way or another, there will always be poor people, and that we doubt that the roots of poverty can ever be eradicated. We may have learned that the only way to respond to violence is with more violence, doubting that Christ's radical call to nonviolent love can ever overcome the powers of the world. We have learned that you cannot grow potatoes, let alone live in an evacuation zone. That is, unless you can. I wonder, as you consider how you view the world, where you fit in that description of Adam Gopnik's. And I know it's something of a generalization. Are you a person who practices faith while acknowledging doubt? Or are you more of a person who really practices doubt even as you find yourself at times being drawn to faith? Well, if you're anywhere on that side of the scale, and my guess is we may go back and forth between those two perspectives, then perhaps Advent this year can be a time to let yourself be drawn more to faith and to the proclamation of good news that we will be hearing in the weeks to come. Perhaps you can acknowledge that there is within you a stirring, a feeling, a yearning, a desire to live with hope, even when circumstances seem overwhelming. Perhaps you can identify even now in the place where you work, in the community where you live, or in the family with whom you dwell, some sense of a different way of being, a different way of living, a deeper way of loving and forgiving. And if you can in any sense have a sense of that, then listen. Be attentive. Be alert to how God is calling you to be engaged more fully in life with a sense of hope and even joy. Because what we discover during Advent is this, that the least likely of landscapes will be the site of God's engagement in the world. Where will the good news of a Messiah be proclaimed? Not in the halls of power by priests and scribes, but by a kind of wild and woolly prophet out in the far edge of the desert, as John the Baptist says, "Come, repent, and prepare the way for one who is to come." And the news of this imminent birth, it will not come to King Herod's palace with advice to nursemaids to get ready, but it will come to a young girl living in poverty in Nazareth as an angel announces to her that she will bear the Savior of the world. Unlikely places. And the most unlikely places of all, perhaps our hearts, our doubting hearts, our troubled hearts, our wondering hearts that are yearning for meaning, for purpose, for life. In a world of doubt and despair, we're invited to open those hearts, to lift up our heads, to look forward, to listen intently, and to see the signs of the coming Savior. And who knows? As we walk across this landscape of Advent, we might just find ourselves going out one morning to plant potatoes. Amen.